Let us pray before we look again at that passage. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we pray that as we look again at this passage, that you would open our minds that we might understand your greatness, and our hearts that we might trust you with our futures. Amen. Well, New Year is a time of hope and joy, a time when we celebrate the year that was and look forward eagerly to the year to come. We enjoy food and drink and we party and we see friends and family. New Year is a time of hope and joy. But New Year is also a time of nervousness and fear. In an uncertain world, factors outside our control can conspire to wreak havoc upon our lives. We can look forward with fear at the year to come. We might fear that economic decisions made by rich people in faraway cities might bring unemployment or inflation or high interest rates, or all three. We might fear that political decisions made by powerful people in faraway cities might bring war, both conventional and nuclear. We might fear that sociological decisions made by intellectual people in faraway cities might upend our society and wreck it from the inside, changing our society so much it is no longer the same society. New Year can also be a time of fear. And fear was what Israel felt when it contemplated its future in Isaiah's time. It was a world of great empires that seemed to dictate what would happen to little Israel and its people. Rich, powerful, and intellectual people in faraway cities in Egypt, in Assyria, in Babylon, made the decisions that seemed to rule over them. And into this world, God spoke through his prophet Isaiah, words of comfort and hope to Israel and through them to us. Let's look at it together. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? The passage starts with a series of questions. And the questions are all rhetorical. They're designed to show that the answer is actually self-evident. It's like saying, could you not see? Isn't it obvious? The answer is self-evident, and Israel should know the answer. Given their history that's recorded in the Bible and elsewhere, they should know. But they've forgotten. What is it they should know? Well, let's read on. Verse 22. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and he spreads them out like a tent to live in. The answer that they should have known is the greatness of God. And this verse here pictures him as the sovereign king of the universe. He's enthroned. But he's also the creator God of the universe that uses the heavens as his dwelling place. And did you notice us in that verse? We are the grasshoppers. In fact, all the peoples of the earth are tiny in comparison to this amazing God. He is immeasurably great. And friends, we, like Israel, can easily forget the greatness of God. We get absorbed in our busy lives, caught up in our own worries, caught up in our fears. And we can forget how immeasurably great God is. It is like a crucial fact that slips our consciousness. And it is only an intentional act of remembering that can bring it back to the forefront of our minds. That God is immeasurably great. Friends, something to be a resolution that goes beyond a month is to spend this year focusing our thoughts on the greatness of God and not focusing on the nothings of this world. So that's a little harsh, Paul. No, that's what the next verse is about. Look at the next verse. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. The princes or the rulers of this world are described here as being nothings. They appear to be great with all their wealth and their power and their intellect, but they are nothings. Israel describes them as like a plant that is sown and then dies in the scorching summer heat. They might appear to be flourishing, but they cannot withstand what God sends. They are nothings, and like those plants, they will disappear soon. You know, one of the favourite things I like about winters in Goulburn is when we get a beautiful, misty morning. Do you know those kind of mornings? You look outside and you see the white everywhere. What a great thing winter is in Goulburn, isn't it? Fantastic. And the mist hangs so thickly that you feel that you can reach out your hand and grab hold of the mist. But when you do, it doesn't work, does it? You reach out and you try and take hold of it, but it slips through your finger because in the end it's not actually substantial. And soon, usually around midday, the sun burns through and the mist is gone and you have a beautiful winter's day here in Goulburn. Something to look forward to. Friends, it is the same, though, with the rich and the powerful and the so-called intellectual of this day. They seem so substantial, but the God who placed them there will soon remove them. They are actually nothings. The most powerful, influential people in the world are actually nothings. So why would we trust them? Why would we listen to them? Why would we fear them? Instead, we ought to trust and listen and fear the God who made the heavens. Verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. See the contrast between the nothings of this world, and then you see, again, the greatness of God. And here we see it spelled out in his relationship with the heavens. God is shown here as the creator of the heavens, the sustainer of the heavens, and the one who knows the heavens intimately. That wonderful statement where he calls the stars by name. Someone should make a song about that. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Millions and millions of stars, and he knows each one of them by name. And he speaks to them, and they do what he says. This reflects both his knowledge, amazing knowledge and wisdom, but also his ownership. If you're naming something, you're the owner of that thing. It is a combination of incomparable power, endurance, and wisdom. The skies proclaim loudly the greatness of God. And friends, each time we look at this night sky, we should remember this verse and be astonished at the greatness of God. Our God is the God who made each star and calls them by name, and they do what he says. Every time we look up at the night sky, we should hear Isaiah 40 and know the greatness of God. And that should lead us to not complain about our future, for that is what Israel was doing. Look at verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Now we see what Israel's complaint was all along that Isaiah is answering. Israel's complaint is that it cannot see a secure future for itself. My way is hidden is another way of saying my future is unknown. Israel is looking forward at an uncertain future and is worried and fearful. And furthermore, it appears as they look forward that God is ignoring them. They can't see God being active in their protection. It appears that he's not going to act to save them. And so they are worried and fearful. But these appearances are deceiving, because in verse 28 we see a repeat of the questions asked back in verse 21. And the hint here is that Israel has forgotten that which it should have remembered. And the answer they have forgotten is that this God, who is so great, is not going to be tired or weary of watching over Israel. Did you notice that God is not necessarily going to make their way known to them? That is, they don't get a crystal ball-like view of the future, which charts out the path that God has planned. But God's point here is not that they're going to be told everything in great detail, but that they don't need to have that information. Why don't they need it? Because the God who created and sustains this amazing world is looking after them. They don't need to know the details of the future. What they need to know is that God will be watching over them. And that is something they already should know. Friends, if we're going to be honest, we'd admit that it's not just Israel that worries about the future. We too can fear the rich and the powerful and the so-called intellectual. We could wish that we had a crystal ball that looked into the future to know how everything was going to work out, and that it would. But like Israel, we don't need that either. Because the God who made the heavens and the earth is watching over us also. And because God doesn't tire of watching over us, in the end, we will not tire. That's the promise of the next few verses. Look at verses 29 to 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not be faint. These are some of the most encouraging words that have ever been written. They're good words to remember. If you're going to print out something from the Bible and put it up in your house, this has got to be at the top of the list. It's fantastic words, aren't they? If you're going to, you know, create a symbol about these verses and put it on your cricket bat, that's what you'd do, wouldn't it? In fact, someone has. And that bat's likely to go into action later today. Look out for it. It is a picture of the life of blessing for Israel and for us. And you might notice that again that this blessing doesn't mean that there aren't going to be downtimes. You need to have your strength fade for it to be renewed. This is not a protection against all ills in the sense that everything will bounce off you like your Teflon. No, we will grow tired and weary. We will stumble and fall. The lows of life will still be there. But the promise here is that God will raise his people up afterwards. And of course, ultimately, this happens in heaven. When we go to be with Jesus forever in that perfect place. And the last couple of lines of this passage is only completely fulfilled in heaven. But that doesn't mean that there aren't many little raisings throughout our lives. Times when we will hit a bigger low. We'll bump along in that low for a while. Only for God to lift us and put us on our feet again. Our great God, who is good, raises us now in all kinds of little ways and will raise us completely on the last day. So this year, friends, let us keep trusting in God. He is the great creator of the entire universe. Let us spend our nights looking up at the stars, or indeed looking at the earth and its vastness. And remember Isaiah chapter 40. Our God is incomparably great. And he's not weary of watching over us at all. Indeed, when we fall, he will raise us again and again and again and again and again. And one day he will raise us to fall no more. And let us not this year live in fear of the rich and the powerful and the so-called intellectual. They are nothings, just like us. And they will pass. So let us not fear the great forces outside our control. For the great God who rules over all is not going to get tired of watching over us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that you are the great God of the universe and that we are like grasshoppers in comparison to you. Thank you that even the princes of this world, those who are great in the world's eyes, are nothings in comparison to you. And we thank you that you who are so great care and watch over us. And we thank you that when we fall in life to circumstances, when we are knocked down, you raise us up each time. Because you are not tired of watching over us. And you are not weary of caring for us. And you will never get that way. And we long for the day when you will raise us up to fall no more. When we will be with you and your Son Jesus in heaven. And we ask that you would speed his coming. Amen.